You are now listening to part three of the April 5th, 2007 Jimmy Doan podcast.
Okay, moving on. What's next? I got senators skeptical of the Real ID Act. Now, the only thing I noticed about this is continuing on the Real ID, on the Real ID. Not one senator voted against the. Yeah, exactly. Not one senator voted against the 2005 emergency spending bill that created the federalized ID cards. But now, 2 years later, skepticism on Capitol Hill about the wildly controversial Real ID rules is beginning to surface. What they did in this act is they had a whole bunch of national standards, and the main thing was any driver's license you got in one state had to be readable, machine readable, or whatever, transparent, whatever, in another state. And the idea was that, and they're going to be like totally fraud proof.
So 2 years ago, everybody was for this,
right?
Good now, idea. Everybody's voting
now. It turns out that it's going to cost a fortune. This unfunded mandate. And the states are saying, whoa, wait a minute, you want us to do what now and coordinate how, what? And so the thing that got me about this article was that some of the people are a little bit worried about the privacy statutes. And the thing about it is, apparently...
Yeah, we're losing.
Well, here's the deal.
You ain't going to have it.
Identity theft is way worse. In other words, if you get an Iowa driver's license that is valid, 100%, uncounterfeitable, guaranteed to do you anything you want in any state... Then if it gets stolen, you know, Katie bar the door. Now, at least, you know, you could say if the Florida license plate or whatever the hell it is, if it comes up, don't take this guy, or, you know, it's only good in certain places. The thing I like about it is that they wanted to make this, what I yellow lined here, it says,
also known as highlighted.
Yeah. The proposal would replace that law with what privacy groups, including the American Civil Liberties Union, have praised, a more flexible approach with stiffer privacy requirements, including encryption of card data and, here's this, a ban on third-party use of the data. Now, the thing that I like about this is people don't realize when the Social Security Act was passed, people were saying that Social Security number is going to be like an ID number. You can't, and of course, back then, only, I don't know, 10 or 15% of the working people.
Only Jewish people had ID numbers.
That's right. Tattooed on their wrist.
That's right.
So the deal is they said Social Security number will never be used as an ID. In fact, it's illegal. It's illegal to use the Social Security. It still is. Illegal. Try and get a loan without it. Try and do anything without a Social Security number.
I remember they recently changed that in the university system here in Florida. Your ID, your used to be, you know, your Social Security.
You can get deported without it.
Yeah, I would imagine that. That's right. You can't. Well, I do know that they have taken it off of driver's licenses because for obvious reasons.
All right.
But if you go to the bank and say, look, I'd like to get a loan, and they say, what's your Social Security number? You say, you know, I don't have to give you that. They say, we don't have to give you the loan either. Bye. I mean, that's it. So that's I happen to know that. Anyway, the point is, let me tell you, if you think it's not going to become a national your papers, please thing, yeah, guess again.
Papers are not in order.
That's right. But again, and of course, this is with this thing, you either have to have this particular bulletproof ID or a ID issued by the military or a passport in order to get on an airplane or go in a federal building or a bank, I guess, too, federal bank or something. But I mean, the point is, they're clamping down. Hello, goodbye. This is it. End of story. I wonder what happens if you are a foreigner. I guess you have to have a passport, I guess, if you're a foreigner in this country.
Supposed to.
But I mean, if you're a foreigner and you come into this country, yeah, you'd have to have a passport anyway. So that would.
Unless you're swimming.
But I mean, if you were a foreigner and you wanted to come open a bank account over here,
you'd just show your passport.
But I'm just saying you wouldn't have a.
Yeah, you just go to
security number.
You go to Bank of America.
They give you an ID number, though. They give you an ID number if you do that.
Oh, yeah?
They give you
your passport ID number, maybe.
No, I think they make up one and send it to the feds. Yeah, I think so.
Mm. All right, let's get through a couple more of these. What about this Texas teen? Let's talk about that briefly.
Okay, this was incarcerated for shoving a teacher. I think it was a 15-year-old girl.
Right.
And she shoved a hall monitor, which is interesting.
Not just shoved. I mean,
probably pushed her down.
Physically pushed her to the ground.
Right.
In 58 in a
years
manner.
Old, whatever, in a violent
right.
manner.
Pushing your teacher down.
So they hauled her off to jail.
Right. Well, now she had some priors.
She had some priors, right? Apparently, she's not a, really, and she may be, you know, for all I know, she's bigger than the 58-year-old. I don't know.
Probably.
But it was, I thought there were the things that I outlined in this yellow underlined, whatever. What'd you call that? Highlight.
Highlighted.
Okay.
Learn something new every day.
What did you call that?
Yeah.
Kids these days.
I thought that the article, when you read this, this is from the Washington Post. When you read the article, it tells you a lot of things. It's interesting that it starts off, civil rights activists are rallying around a 15-year-old
Al
black girl.
Yeah, Al Sharpton.
Right away, you know she's black. No, if she'd been white, it would have just said a 15-year-old.
Right.
Okay, who has been in a high-security juvenile detention center for a year for shoving a hall monitor at her school and whose sentence was just extended for what authorities call possession of contraband. And I thought, God, how does she get some crack in there? No, it's an extra pair of socks and a plastic foam cup.
Well, and she was sentenced by a white judge. They did mention that.
Jeez, 4,500 juveniles in Texas in Texas youth commissions that are incarcerated. Now, of course, right away, Reverend Al shows up. He's all, you know, and with several hundred.
Oh, he's leading the charge. He's
leading the charge. That's right.
We're reading about this in the Washington.
Well, I thought it was interesting that the girl's name is Shaquanda Cotton. Now, I mean, this tells you so much.
Does Shaquanda mean high?
Well, who was it? It was Tawana Brawley, of course, that was that got Al Sharpton on the map, which was that phony rape thing. Totally phony.
Tawana
Brawley, do you remember that?
No.
Well, that was probably before your time. Al Sharpton has been riding the Tawana Brawley train for 20 years, well over 20 years. That was this thing where she claimed she was raped by a bunch of white kids. They tore down where Al was in Brooklyn or wherever he was up in New York. I forget where it was. But they race-rioted like crazy, and he was at the head of it, you know, that hell no, we won't go, whatever the hell it is. Turns out she was lying. I mean, you know, it was all made up. It was little girl out of the mine shaft.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about this battery situation here.
Shaquanda.
First of all, there's a victim and there's criminal intent in this thing.
Okay.
So, I mean, you've got an actual crime, in my opinion, which is the battery. And that's something that you use incarceration for. Now, a year certainly seems like a way long time for that kind of thing.
For a 15-year-old?
It does, except for a couple things. Well, let me say, I mean, no, it definitely is.
In front of a jury.
And that's interesting. They don't do juries for juveniles here in Florida.
This girl was adjudicated delinquent by a jury.
Well, that
doesn't, on an assault by on
but
a
she,
public
I
service.
Bet you she was sentenced by the judge, though.
Could have been. Oh, yeah, she was.
And so of course, the jury's going to convict her on the battery because she did it.
Right.
She pushed the person.
Right.
And she has multiple priors, so
right.
You're going to get an increased
15-year-old
sentence.
15-year-old girl, right.
Now, here in the state of Florida, there are not very many sentences you can get as a juvenile. You would think you could give them any number of days that you could specify, right?
Right.
Wrong.
Wrong.
Wrong,
ooh.
Wrong. Either, here's the way that it goes in Florida. You get probation, which almost everybody gets on their first time through.
Right.
Or you get some days in the juvenile up to 21 days.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And they almost never, in fact, they're not even allowed to sentence somebody to those days. What happens is they leave them over in the detention center for those days, and then they just bring them back to the court, and then they plead them out, and they give them sort of time served.
Time served.
And that's an effective way to give them a 21-day or less sentence.
Okay.
Although they're not supposed to do that. Above and beyond that, on your second or third or fourth one, they have these programs that they're stratified in different levels. They've eliminated a lot of the levels now.
Mm-hmm.
So the first level above zero is
guillotine.
Well, just about. It's level six. So one through five are gone, and so level six is
the gallows.
Is a 3, 6, or 9 month program.
Uh-huh.
And so it's very conceivable that somebody on their third battery offense could get 9 months in juvenile here in the state of Florida. And I imagine that this girl was probably in that situation. She's probably a rough kid.
Yeah.
Had done three or four things like that. And then she got the level six and she got the year.
Well, they said that extended it, of course, for the contraband.
They can extend to stuff like that. And I've heard of that as well. The contraband being things of that nature.
Right.
Totally innocuous.
Apparently
things.
they can extend it until they're 21 years old.
Right. And they can do that here in the state of Florida as well. And I've seen that happen.
And I believe that article went on to say something like 46 or more percent of the kids in there have gotten these extended.
Well, they apparently they use it as kind of a punishment.
Right. Or they do it regularly.
Yeah, do it regularly because they say, you know, if you didn't brush your teeth or you did whatever it is, and so they tackle
you didn't learn
month.
Your lesson. You didn't.
Yeah, you didn't learn your lesson.
You didn't admit.
Well, you know, how is this different from those boot campy things that were so in vogue a couple of years ago?
Well, it's not, except that those boot campy things were pre-conviction.
Ah, yes.
Pre-conviction.
That's right.
They were family sent thing. The family
No, heck no.
No, I'm talking about the ones where the family did it.
They had
the private boot campy things down in Central America.
Right. Okay. I was talking about in the state of Florida here for a long time, they were boot camps where the kids were killed.
They sued.
That was post-conviction, but still they had them. Well, I think it was. It might not have been, but because I think they had stopped it by then. But they used to send these kids off for a couple weeks of work while they were awaiting trial. And they finally figured out that was unconstitutional. So sentences are quite severe if you're a juvenile and you do something intentionally a few times, you know, repetitive.
But the question is, what's the recidivism rate? Does it work? Anybody know if it works?
I don't think it works any better than anything else. The only thing it does is keep those people out of where they're committing whatever it is.
Yeah, but I've always said that the jail system here, as Stefan Molyneux points out so rightfully, the jail systems are where you learn your craft, how to be a criminal, because you're in with criminals, number one. And number two, then there's abuse. I mean, there's rape. There's all kinds of abuse.
Well, in juvenile detention facilities, there's not so much abuse and rape and stuff. There's like petty rampant abuse by the guards, you know, pushing and slapping and little teasing and stuff like that. But
what
the
does
other
that gotta
factor,
teach you?
Well, and that's what I was about to say. The other factor is that kids are very impressionable, and they do learn a lot more than an adult who goes to jail. They really do learn a lot in those facilities in terms of how to commit new crimes, and they unlearn a lot of things that parents have been trying to beat into their heads while they're still juveniles.
Literally.
Sometimes.
Yeah. A lot of times. Well,
you can't do that anymore. Either.
Yeah. No, it is, unfortunately, I look at it as kind of a snowball-y thing, that once you get started down that path, I think it would be tough to break out. I mean, obviously the object is you send this kid off to this girl here, for instance, for, I don't know, a couple of weeks or a month or whatever it is. And they come back a brand new person. Right. You know, I see in the error of my ways.
Not even close.
Not even close. Well, I mean, but doesn't that give these people that run these programs, wouldn't they like go home at night and say, you know, this is not working? I mean,
well, not the people that run them, of course, because that runs afoul of the, your ego or livelihood.
Right. I was being a little facetious.
I know you were. But the people in charge of it, certainly they're revamping the juvenile justice system all the time in the state of Florida here.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like every couple or 3 years they change things and amend things. They drop those levels off. They add some more on.
Let's dovetail this into the felons that are trying to get their voting rights.
All right. Now, this is a good thing, in my opinion.
Okay.
They
brief background here. It's in Florida here.
Right.
Felons are saying, hey, we want the right
to vote. Once you're a convicted felon, you don't get to vote here.
Okay. Right. The way that it used to be is you had to petition and you had to be reviewed in order to get your rights back in the state of Florida. Well, most states are not like that. Most states, you get them back almost automatically after you get released and you get...
You've paid your debt.
Right.
Now you can vote.
Right. There's basically a termination point. It's sort of almost Catholic. They forgive you at the end. And so Florida now has voted the Clemency Board, which consists of the governor, the agriculture commissioner, whose name is Charles Bronson, by the way. I voted for him, man.
Yeah, just on the name alone.
That's right. Yeah. But, you know, he goes by Charlie. I was like, what are you thinking?
What are you thinking about?
No, no. Take Charles, man. Take the name. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, that's right. So Charlie voted with the governor and also...
he was also a Charlie, by the way.
Yeah.
Right. And the Democratic, the only Democratic member of the Florida cabinet, Alex... something or another, and they all voted to approve this measure, which basically now makes it automatic when a person gets released from their sentence that their rights, the process begins for their rights to be restored. And I think it's a good thing because It's just so dang easy to get a felony these days.
Right, that's the key. And I mean, you can be. And I noticed that the one negative vote was a fellow that I know, actually graduated with him, Bill McCollum.
Right.
He's been, I think, a House representative up here for a while.
And yeah.
A senator or whatever it is. But he's been an attorney. I mean, he graduated about the same time I did. Anyway, cast the sole opposing vote, saying that the change was welcoming the worst back into society too easily. I mean,
propaganda. It doesn't even affect the worst.
No, the point is that Bill, God love him, but he's one of these statist Nazi Republicans types. I mean, we'll put them all in jail and let God sort them out. I mean, and he runs on that kind of thing. He's from a district down there in Orlando that loves that kind of stuff. And but I look at that and think, as you say, he can be a felony for just about it. And I understand that if you happen to be Charles Manson, Charlie,
right?
It's
not going to affect those people anyway.
Right.
It doesn't affect violent crimes at all. And so this is stuff like drug possession and driving on a suspended license and forgery of a check and things like that.
I was hoping that rather than restoring the vote, if we could redo that amendment where it gave those females the right to vote. Can we get rid of that?
All right, let's do a couple more and then we'll get into some light notes.
Okay.
Which one of these you really want to get into here? Let's talk about New Orleans.
We already did.
No, with the plan? Yeah.
Well, there is no plan.
Yeah.
We already talked about that. Talking about plans, I will say this. In L.A., this is so typical, again, so typical of governments that have no clue.
They're solving the housing problem in L.A.?
Solving the housing problem in L.A.
It's about time.
And it's not like they haven't been doing it for like 100 years. and they're not going to get it right.
What if they pull an all-nighter?
Yeah, pull an all-nighter. That's right. Exactly right. New rules. I did not realize how much rent control there was in L.A. I knew there was a lot in New York, and it's been one of the reasons that in New York City there are so many decrepit, rundown, horrible places because of the rent control, and that the landlords can't raise the rent.
It pays to upgrade those places, right?
Yeah, not hardly. I mean, the fact is that if your costs are going through the ceiling, and you are only allowed to charge $150 for rent. I mean, and as long as the people are there, they don't move out. I mean,
just take that out of your extra earnings.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And they go down and the buildings go down and be decrepit. Finally, they're just squatters there. Anyway, in L.A., what happens is some of that property, in spite of all that.
We squatted in L.A., didn't we?
Heck yeah.
Engineer Eric and I lived in a burnt out shell of a building.
East L.A.
Man, it was sirens every night. While we were there, they stole the glove box to the singer's car.
I did. Hey man, that'd make a nice purse. Yank.
It's shielded.
It was a box.
Yeah,
that's right.
Box.
Metal.
Right, metal.
Can't go wrong.
Metal purse.
Gotta that's it. The deal is what's happened, of course, as the population has increased in that area, a lot of that property has becoming very, very valuable. And they are in the process of condoing it, taking all those buildings and redoing them. And the condos are selling for like $1 million or something, whereas the rent. So what they're doing is they're kicking out the rent control people. They're finding ways to get rid of them.
Well, that's a loophole now. If they're going to sell it, if they're going to condo, then they can kick the renters out.
Well,
they give them the option to buy.
That's right. They give them the option to buy. Well, now here's somebody.
For $1 million.
For $1 million. Right. Exactly right. Well, needless to say, they're screaming unfair. You know, no fair. And the guys that are going to
be thrown out of all hole in the ground.
Exactly. Tarpaulin.
Tarpaulin. You were lucky.
You were lucky. That, in case you're interested, is from the it's called The Four Yorkshiremen. It's the greatest skit if you ever see on
Monty Python. It's on
Monty
YouTube.
Python. Huh?
It's on YouTube. I think we linked to it on a previous Jimmy Dunn show.
Really? It's on YouTube?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Okay. Everything's on
YouTube.
Jimmy Dunn's on YouTube.
Well,
MySpace, at least.
So. Yeah.
Anyway, the deal is that I thought this was... Let me tell you what I highlighted in this. Right. The condo conversion wars, they call, have swept over the city in the last 5 years, particularly on the pricey west side, as a dwindling stock of affordable housing has been rapidly outpaced by a growing middle-class population. Now, what this says is that the, quote, affordable housing, the cheap crap that's subsidized, is being bought up by the new middle-class people that can afford it. Mm-hmm. Problem solved, you would think.
Yep.
Problem solved.
The market speaks.
Yeah, that's right. But the what happens is the way it works out there, I didn't realize this, but the way it works out there, apparently, even when you say to somebody, look, you can buy the condo, yeah, man, you can buy the condo, you know, you buy it for $1 million or you have to leave. But then the guy who's turning it into a condo has to pay what they call a redevelopment. It's like a reverse impact fee. They got to pay the people to move. They have to give them anywhere from, I guess, from $3,000 to $10,000 to relocate. That's their moving expenses and so forth. Well, of course, what the people are saying is, I can't buy a house for that. Well, that, I don't think that's what it was for. Mm-hmm. You know, too bad.
You need to get across the street, get some crack.
So
hey, you think you got a house.
That's right. So, but I do
bicycle.
But the I love this. I can name a lot of people who, in all honesty, even with relocation fees, will not be able to move and live in the same community that they have for years. Yeah, well, okay.
Well, that's part of the idea.
Said Councilman Wendy.
We don't want you in this community.
Exactly. You know, this has now become a rich person's community. Leave.
Why don't you move a few hundred miles south?
Councilman Wendy Gruel said, and that's what gets our heartstrings. Mm-hmm. Okay, this she wants. So she putting a human face on the debate. Okay, mm-hmm. were dozens of tenants who spent at City Hall. Among them was Esther Escamilla, who lives with her husband and two children west of downtown, in a $466 a month apartment slated for conversion. I mean, $460. Her husband makes $600 a month buying used cars and selling the parts. Yeah, okay.
I bought it.
Yeah, I bought that. It's called a chop
shop. No, those serial numbers are already ground down.
That's what it says. Buys used cars.
That's right.
Just one at a time.
Well, I mean, not like all of the car at once.
I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, okay. And, of course, he's admitting to $600 a month.
Right.
You know, now he's got a $466 a month apartment.
He says,
I'm making $600. That leaves, you know, $140, $138, whatever it is, for
children.
Food, electricity, feed his children, clothing, school, and all the entertainment. Okay. He's a frugal fellow.
Yep.
Public testimony reached an apex when Hollywood resident Kirby Norris, soon to be forced from her apartment, tearfully pleaded, "Help me!" to the council as she clutched the hand of her 9-year-old Matthew. I mean, just doesn't this.
The Matthew Law.
That's it.
The Matthew Law.
About 61% of L.A. residents are renters. There are about 600,000 rent-controlled units in the city. I don't believe that. 12,000 apartments have been converted to condos. Now, if that's true, 600,000 rent-controlled units, I just don't believe it. But if that's true, then 12,000 is like a rounding error that they're converting to condos since 2001 in the West Side area around Studio City, hardest hit, they say. It sounds like...
Studio City?
Nope. What I'm saying is that about 12,000 apartments have been converted to condos or demolished since 2001.
A mere 3% or something.
Wait. Listen to this, though. Tells you about the article. With the West Side and area around Studio City, hardest hit. It sounds like the opposite. It sounds like that's what you want.
Right.
I mean, they've improved the area with million-dollar places, and this person calls it hardest hit.
Right, well, Studio City actually wasn't a bad place to live when I was out there.
I liked it a lot.
Better, right, yeah.
So
they're making it better. It's hardest hit, getting better.
And the last sentence. Here's the last sentence.
Uh-huh. We've been
developers are going to have to stop gouging tenants, she said. And tenants have to understand the landlords are under a lot of pressure, not only to make ends meet, but to get a profit to meet market price demand. Developers are going to have to stop gouging tenants.
Developers. Evil.
Unbelievable.
They need to stop gouging tenants and they need to start building some sort of tsunami barrier. This is just getting out of hand.
Anything else before we get into light notes?
Okay, one more thing here. This is one more thing. And this actually applies here somewhere in Gainesville. One of the things we have in Gainesville is supposedly a shortage of parks. And as you know, there's soccer and baseball, softball, and all kinds of things
public
like that. Public parks,
the
right.
Kids.
Too many men and women on the fields. It turns out that up north, I forget exactly where this is, and I'll take a look, Winter Warriors, whatever it is. Anyway, I should know, the Hudson River, up in New York. They're running out of park areas, and so now it turns out that in order to reserve the parks, you have to sometimes as much as a year in advance, because there's an explosion in teams. And one of the little minor problems is soccer teams, for instance, practice year-round. And so, even though it's a seasonal sport, they're there all the time. You know what?
They take up a lot of space.
They really do. So anyway, they call it an acute shortage of playing fields in the city. And they go, they have a parks commissioner, and they have a, it says here, we have a tremendous demand for sports fields. Well, this is a typical example of something that you should be able to make some money at this, but because no they do. Are given away free, so to speak.
And plus the liability if you ever.
Well, that's what hurt. I got that marked on here. You were exactly right. You were ahead of the, you were ahead of it. The thing is, in addition to traditional leagues, there are now teams reserved for older men and older women, lesbians, or gay men.
Talking about West Hollywood here?
No. The competition has pitted adults against children, soccer against baseball, and women against men. This is for the right.
Shoot,
to use
the men with the baseball bats are going to win.
I would think.
No, I don't know. Maybe the lesbians with the softball bat might win too.
The bottom line is what in order to utilize the fields. Of course, this is where it's cold. They got to do a lot of their practice practically, I guess, in the snow. And they got to start off at 6 o'clock in the morning and have practice, or reserve it at 7 or 8 o'clock at night when it's dark. And the thing that gets me about this, the deal that they're trying to put in, raise $52 million to refurbish and maintain 63 fields at Randall's Island over a 20-year period. The city would also get a virtual monopoly on 2/3 of the fields during after-school hours. The thing that gets me about this, again, this is called crowding out. Their taxpayer money is going to pay for the fields. And so they're selling it too cheap. I mean, if there's this many people that want to play, you should be able to get your
own. In the field business.
Exactly. Though the deal was criticized by parks advocates and some elected officials as unfair pay-to-play solution to the playing field shortage. Mr. Benepe said that such private public adventures are necessary.
Stop charging us and start charging them.
Some recreational.
The reason that
I'm not using the field.
The reason that pay-to-play or pay-to-live in this apartment is fair is ostensibly because everybody has the same right to get money in this country. The idea is you may not have the money now, but you have the ability to get the money, and therefore it's fair. It's fair to you just as like it's fair to the rich.
Well,
guy.
The thing about it is, if this is called, it's called rationing, you know, and when things about, it's like healthcare or anything else. You're going to ration it one way or the other. And the easiest way to figure out how to ration stuff is with price.
Right.
It's just so simple, you can't imagine. And everybody said, well, it's not fair because rich people get to. Well, it'll
look. It's not fair the other way either. It reminds me
of what I say about fair, don't you?
it's an alliteration. I can tell you this. When I was at the University of Miami, we had a couple of fields, three fields, and all of the different teams competed for time on these fields.
Uh-huh.
And it was not done by price. So it was totally done.
To death.
Just about. Mm-hmm. It was totally done by politics. It was this total back scratching system. You had to know this person or that person in the office, and then you had to show up at the right time, and they would tip people off as to where the time was. And
there's going to be 20 when there's different a shortage ways. Of anything. They're going to find a way to ration it, no matter what.
Right.
And it's either political. Or it's voluntary.
Right.
I mean, there is a market solution to all of that. It's so easy. One of the things that is creates a lot of this shortage, I'm sure, as you just mentioned, is a liability problem. I mean, we've got fields underutilized all over this town, but you're not allowed to go on the school grounds, for instance, for a lot of this stuff, unless it's
ridiculous.
We have got so much open space here that could be used on a pickup basis. You know, let's go on over. When I was a kid,
right?
Let's go over and play. Now
you can just cruise to the school ground and throw a hand grenade if you want to,
or you could put little dynamite sticks all around your body and walk into a kindergarten class.
That's Jimmy at
gzone.com.
So, yeah.
All right. Now you can't even do that anymore.
No. And
where can you throw a hand grenade?
I'll bet there's a law against that.
God.
Yeah, I'll bet there's a law.
All right, we got a little crazy.
I'm done. Yeah, light notes.
Crazy Frog. We got Crazy Frog somewhere.
Crazy Frog.
Got him somewhere in there. And we got some good light notes. We're kicking into light notes.
Okay, I don't have any light notes. I have no light notes.
Oh, we got them.
Okay, good.
We're waiting for Crazy Frog.
Okay, well, that's
we'll
all right.
Edit this
I'm going to go to. I'm going to go. I've decided to go totally retro on my computers. I'm buying off Apple IIe's now, and I found we
noticed that as we stepped over 15 Apple IIs.
Well, that's
to try to get into.
It turns
studio.
Out I didn't realize this, but there's a big 4-day shindig in Kansas City. Here I come. For Apple II stuff, and I'm gonna go. I'm serious. It's called K-Fest 2007.
Hey, Jimmy, what are they gonna do? Link all those computers together and try and run one Nintendo game or something?
They're gonna try and repeat that Y1K virus.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
Star Wars.
Oh, that's right. No, I mean it's amazing what you can do with 60K. Not 60.
No.
60K of memory. That's to God. No, it's great.
Asteroids.
Fun. That's right.
Well, did you see that?
We're officially into light notes here.
Okay. Yep.
So let's go ahead and start off with Hooters. Well, it's kind of a bit. We talked about it a little bit. It was also light notes.
Okay.
So
Hooters in Israel.
Hooters in Israel.
Now, is this? I mean, are they going to? is this in like Burka Hooters or something like that?
Now they're going to have Hooters or wings, you know, in Israel.
But yeah, it's the wings.
Aren't they? They're not allowed to serve like pork or anything.
Kosher wings.
Yeah, that's right. It'll all be kosher food. Yeah. That's right. Sure.
I'm interested.
It's
interesting.
Screw
this thing in Kansas for Apple IIs. Why don't you go over to the opening of Hooters in Israel?
Because there's a Hooters next to the Kansas City Fest.
There's one right across the street from my work.
In fact, I'm sure there's a strip club out there, so I'm not too worried about that.
Not in Israel.
No, I doubt it.
All right, what else we got?
I didn't know if this was in light notes or not. Did you want us to talk about the New Mexico approved use of medical marijuana thing?
Yes, sounds real light to me.
Hold on, I'll be right back.
Okay, well, let me ask you.
My first thought is, you mean there's a New Mexico?
hey, dude.
CM Burns on The Simpsons. you mean there's a New Mexico?
What happened to the old one?
So the question is this going to... Didn't they do this in California, and that's when the race thing came up?
Yeah, but the point is
yeah.
I mean, it's still illegal federally. The feds, the marshals still could show up over there and bust people, and they might start harassing the people in New Mexico if they set up the type of clinics that they set up out in California. But California went bananas. They set up everything. I mean, you could get a prescription for like a bloody nose and, look, somebody poked me in the eye. I need some marijuana.
I need some ganja.
Right. But I mean,
man.
Of course, the thing about it is, so what?
Yeah.
Why should you even have to get a prescription? You know, again, it's a weed.
You shouldn't. But look, this guy, the governor, is running for president.
Oh, that's true.
And he's signing the bill, and it's a step in the right direction, and he says it's the right thing to do. He's right. And, hey, woo.
They say it works with or helps relieve suffering from AIDS, cancer, glaucoma, multiple sclerosis,
and lack of hunger.
Hey, it doesn't lack of hunger.
That's right.
It fixes that real good.
That's right. When you have one of those, don't get in between one of those guys smoking it and a bag of chips. You're gonna be
Fat Freddy from the Freak Brothers. He goes on a hunger binge in the thing. Hey, now, I mean, isn't Stephen Hawking? Doesn't he have multiple sclerosis? Is that what he's got, or has he got
sclerosis?
I don't know if that's what it is.
Or if he got muscular dystrophy.
Muscular dystrophy.
Something.
All right, anyway. Well, he's going on a zero-G flight pretty soon.
Yeah.
12th of this month. Or 14th.
Oh, which, speaking of New Mexico, though, come to think of it, the spaceport is...
Spaceport's going to be there.
Well, no, they said it's being put on hold.
Oh, yeah?
There's been some people that are saying that it's... it's in a port. What happens is, in order to be able to afford it, they're going to use some taxpayer money.
Yeah, well, Branson was talking them into that.
Yeah, but apparently it's in a poorer section, as it were.
Well, they realized what they could if they just planted a bunch of marijuana there, they can make a lot more money.
Yeah, that's it.
They said,
"Fuck space, corn."
They said, "Corn,
yeah, corn,
yeah. That's growing."
Yeah,
our governor just said we can grow dope.
Man. Yeah, we were going to watch a rocket go up, but now we don't even need the rocket.
That's right. We're going up with the rocket.
That's right. We're getting high, but not in a rocket.
Yeah, that's right. We're going
to
jump.
So I don't know. I guess we'll have to hear about that, huh?
Yeah. Apparently, it's what happens here all the time. Whenever you want to put something bad, like a correctional institution where the felons are,
right.
You put it where a poor section of town or
Jimmy calls it.
So, no, I mean, the point, that's historically, it's what's been done.
I'm not
so arguing. So apparently in this area in New Mexico, the average wage there is, like, minimum.
A buck and a quarter.
Right.
And
a week.
So, you know, everything's cheap.
And it's populated with rocket scientists.
Well, it will be. It will be.
Okay.
So, who knows?
Well, so we'll see. I mean, so what's it?
So, anyway, apparently they're complaining now.
Who's complaining?
They're saying, look, you're just putting it here because we're poor.
Oh, no.
You're just putting it here because we're poor people. You know, and you can get
away. So the poor people are complaining they're going to have rocket scientists in their neighborhood?
Yep.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
Well, because I guess they're going to be crowded out.
Yeah.
Well. I mean, you know, that's what happened in a lot of the, you know, in Silicon Valley and everything. I mean, as you know, a lot of that stuff in L.A., for God's sakes, you know, orange fields turned into high rises. I mean, boom.
Well, hey, you know, whatever makes the money.
The market should figure it out. I don't like. I'm not happy the fact though that Branson got taxpayer money to put the damn thing in.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
All right, I got another one here. Everybody knows what a Zamboni is, right?
Yeah.
All right, Zamboni, you know, drives around on the hockey rink, whatever.
We already know what it is.
Okay, well, just
we said yeah.
We said yeah.
I was just making sure all the
you don't have to tell. I was speaking for the Jimmy Don listeners.
All right, so Zamboni. This is in Newark, New Jersey. Okay, Zamboni operator John Bella had been charged with drunken driving. This was a couple of years in 2005 after a fellow employee at the sports arena where he worked in New Jersey told police that the machine was speeding and nearly crashed into the boards. So he's driving the Zamboni drunk, doing his job.
Yeah.
And tried to charge him with drunken driving.
Did they?
No.
Okay, I was going to say.
No. He got
there
away with that.
There is a limit. Now, I do understand that.
Well, the judge ruled that they
count horses now as vehicles, right?
In fact,
lawnmowers. I've seen it got lawnmowers.
No, lawnmowers I do know.
Let me tell you what this is. The only reason he got off of this is because he was not on a highway.
Right.
Well, they didn't say, and I agree with that, but what the judge said here is that the judge ruled that the 4-ton ice rink grooming machines are not motor vehicles because they aren't usable on highways and they can't carry passengers. So it wasn't that he wasn't on a highway, it's that it wasn't a motor vehicle.
That may be in New Jersey. I can tell you here in Florida, you can get DUI on a bicycle.
And a wheelchair.
Yeah. You can get DUI on a golf cart. I mean, a wheelchair. How can you? That says it all.
Well, you get a deal. You don't get a DUI. You get a WUI.
WWI.
Yeah, walking while until you get a WWI here.
Wheeling while intoxicated.
All right, so it comes down to the last.
Walking
while intoxicated.
Well, you can't get that. That's not a DUI statute thing.
Let me ask you this: if you get a WWI, I mean, if you get a public drunkenness,
walking while intoxicated.
Yeah, that's just public drunkenness. Okay. But I mean, the wheelchair thing. Let's say you wheel your wheelchair out into the street,
mm-hmm.
and some car, to avoid hitting you, flips over, and that guy dies. You're going down for DUI manslaughter.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
All right. So the last line of this one is as always the best, Jimmy. The drunken driver Perigallo, he was 64, testified at his trial that he did drink beer and vodka, but not until after he had groomed the ice. However, he did happen to mention that he had a shot of Sambuca and two Valiums for breakfast.
Boy, he was just getting ready to work on the ice, see?
But he only had, he had Sambuca and two Valiums for breakfast.
That's A.
Gotta love it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's
breakfast of champions, eh?
Yeah, hey, that's right.
You hosers.
Hey, you hosers. Two Valiums, eh?
Yeah, two Valiums.
Right. Not just one, eh?
Yeah,
Take off.
You know where that term hoser came from?
Nope.
It's when
Strange Brew.
Actually, it was in the losing team pre the Zambonis. When the losing team lost, they actually had to hose down the ice.
Good little tidbit of history.
Yeah, you learned one thing today on the Jimmy Don.
That's right. Hoser was same as loser.
Right.
Ah,
that's the point.
It's almost spelled the same.
It's exactly. Yeah. Wow.
Look at that.
But with an H, eh?
Eh.
Yeah. All right.
There was some lady actually two days ago who got charged DUI and horseback in Sylvania, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Horseback.
She tried to ram the cop cars horse.
I think she did ram the cop car
would win.
Yeah, well, probably.
I think the horse dented the crap out of her.
So what? that's called denting the car.
Yeah.
That's not DUI.
And then she wouldn't stop. She just kept riding.
They bootstrapped so many things onto the DUI thing.
Yeah, because there's money in it. I mean, big money. You know,
She got charged.
It's always about the money.
Well, because they also got her with us. They got her charged with drug possession, possession of drug paraphernalia, resisting arrest, assault, attempting to elude police, and cruelty to animals.
So she was riding a horse with a bong in her hand?
Or a crack pipe.
Yeah.
While kicking the horse, which is the abuse.
Yeah, didn't really say.
All right.
But $4,000 bond.
The abuse was the horse didn't get me.
She only had a $4,000 bond.
Only, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
you hear about this teacher quieted down the students by clothes pinning their mouth closed?
No. Whoa. What?
Yeah. Retired. This is some old lady teacher or whatever.
No, you get thrown in jail for that these days.
Oh, substitute teacher. Let's see.
Not anymore.
She was her tool for silencing chatty kindergartens was clothes pins, and she admitted it. She said, "Yep, I clothes pinned their mouth closed."
That's.
Did we talk about the other school things that happened since the last time?
Like what?
There were two things that happened that were school related. Wasn't the last show that didn't we do the last show was the when we talked about the Bong Hits for Jesus thing?
Yeah.
Done that.
Okay, so since that time we talked about there was going to be more controversies and having to do with the school
right. And
potentially Supreme Court oversight.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Since that time there have been two new developments where schools are trying to reach out potentially beyond their bounds. One is this school, and this is sort of understandable, except when you hear it, they shut down a student play because they thought that some people might be offended emotionally.
Whoa.
Yeah, like emotionally hurt. It was about the war in Iraq, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And then the second thing was a school is trying to prevent students from having MySpace accounts at their homes.
Right, yeah. Outside of school.
Right.
How can they do that? They can't.
Well, they can do it until somebody tells them that they can't. If you think about it.
What's the penalty? Suspension?
Right.
So, and?
Well, and so...
So I don't have to go to school. And well, I want to ask you that. I've asked you this before. I'm still unclear on it. I've forgotten maybe. I've seen your moment. If you're suspended or expelled or something, does that mean you don't have to go to school?
Well, no, when they expel you, then you have to go to the special school.
Okay, if you're suspended, though?
Then you don't have to go for those days, but you're, of course, required to make stuff up, and you're required to...
All work missed.
And, yeah, and your grades suffer and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot of detriment to being suspended.
I thought maybe you could just, if you didn't want to go to school, you just
sort of opt out and
stay suspended.
Waive those days or something.
Yeah. Just take bong hits.
That would be nice, but you can't.
Yeah, bong hits for Jesus.
And so here is an example of the school literally telling people what they can do in their homes. I mean, the next level is them banning certain books at home. Or certain influences, certain internet things. I mean, certain.
How about if they ban the parents smoking at home, or they've already done that?
Oh, they're trying that.
I've seen parents ordered not to smoke.
Yeah, I've seen that too. Especially if the kid's got some severe asthma or something like that. I've seen that.
But
it's not just that. Now it's all sorts of ADD and all. They're linking that to everything. So.
Terrorism.
Terrorism.
All right.
Mohammed Atta.
Just as an update, go ahead. Anything else?
It was April Fool's. Did you guys get in any drugs?
I got somebody.
You did?
I got our two kids.
Oh, yeah.
That's easy. That's hard.
Well,
they're almost teenagers or something. Well, what'd you pull on them?
Well, they're both going into the next school next year. One's going into high school. One's going into middle school.
Oh.
So we told them that the school board had voted to change middle school to 7th, 8th, and 9th grade.
Ah.
So that neither of them were graduating and going on.
But Dad,
did they? What did they say to that?
They were all bummed out.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
that's funny. That's great.
That website that you gave me was the Museum of Jokes, or something like that.
Or hoaxes, or was
Museum of Hoaxes. That's what it was.
They had the hundred
April Fool's,
and they were fat. There were some really good. I'd heard about a couple of them, but I mean, they were.
I like the instant color TV, where the guy there was only one channel TV channel in Sweden, and it was broadcast in black and white. This is 1962, and the station's technical expert appeared on the news to announce that thanks to a newly developed technology, all viewers could now quickly and easily convert their existing sets to display color reception. All they had to do was pull a nylon stocking over their TV screen. And
I like the
pictures of that.
You know, it's funny. I spent 8 months in Sweden in 1965, I can tell you they had like three channels then, and it was the state run, of course, and they didn't even come on till like 4 or 5 o'clock. It was like 1940s in the United States, unbelievable. And of course, the stuff that was on there was all this. So, you know, politically, who would ever want to watch it? The most popular shows across the board were the ones that they bought from the United States.
Mm-hmm.
The Gunsmoke or whatever the hell it is. They would show that sometimes. And they were, the ratings went through the ceiling. Of course, there are no ads. They bought them. They took the ads out because they weren't allowed to have, on state-run TV, they weren't allowed to have ads.
Oh, wow.
So people loved it. I mean, it was...
My favorite prank was the one where the astronomer announced that Jupiter was going to align with Pluto and it's going to affect the Earth's gravity. And if you went out and jumped right at the right time,
astrologers, of course, have been doing a lot. Then every time you turn around, they say, "Oh yeah, well, you know, Mercury is in the Venus and all this good second quarter of Leo and all that crap."
It's Capricorn rising.
Yeah, exactly.
Or when a Taco Bell announced they had bought the Liberty Bell from the federal government and they were going to rename it the Taco one. Liberty Bell. The National Historic Park in Philadelphia got, you know, all these angry people down there. And then he said the best line was inspired by the affair came when the White House Press Secretary Mike McCurry was asked about the sale. He responded that he goes, "Yes, in fact, the Lincoln Memorial has also been sold, though to a different corporation. We now be called the Ford Lincoln Mercury Memorial."
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, and then the left-handed Whopper was going to come out by Burger King.
Yeah, Well, anyway, you need to go to that.
Yeah, we'll link to it on the site.
It's called
museumofhoaxes.com
or
something.
Anyway, the 100 best April Fool's jokes, and there's some pretty good ones in there.
Good ones. I had one thing on this. This guy, sex change should end alimony, man argues.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That was great.
Lawrence Roach, he agreed.
Roach.
The guy's ex-wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
Decided to become a man.
Yeah.
So he said, "Well, I'm not going to pay alimony to some man."
Yeah.
So, and have they ruled on it yet?
I love her name change was Julia Roach, and now she's changing her name to Julio Roberto Silverwolf.
Jesus. Wait. No, I'm confused myself. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. I know. Wait. Now, there are guys that have operate. Wait a minute. You see this on TV all the time. Guy's going to have an operation to become a girl, okay?
Right.
There's things you can hack off and other things you can, you know, into. The other way around, though.
Vaginoplasty?
No, yeah, but he's asking about the penoplasty.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know. Well, it may be
dicoplasty.
I mean, if a woman wants to become a guy,
find a donor.
Gotta find a donor.
You're not gonna find a live one.
What was it, Lorena?
The organ donor,
John
Bobbitt.
John Bobbitt. Yeah, yeah. You see somebody scoop that baby up before he comes back to find it.
They found it in the field
on the black market.
Yeah.
Hot
on the black market. Thanks a lot, you racist pig.
No.
I'd like a black one, please.
Oh, I only got white. It's not going to last long.
Yeah, see, the brothers ain't
show has exploded.
I mean, that's all I got in
I'm done.
As far as the ruling, I don't know. They're it's down in Pinellas County, believe it or not.
Pinellas County.
In Florida.
Appropriately named.
Well, we'll keep you abreast of the situation.
Oh, yes, abreast.
Great there.
Right.
Yeah, the only thing else, I did have one.
Oh, one more, one last one.
Tiny thing here as I kind of cue up our little
our end music.
Little thing here. Yeah, did you see old John Popper got stopped here?
Oh, yeah,
he was arrested for being...
He's a rock star.
He's a singer for the... lead
blues
singer for
traveler.
The Blues Traveler. Yeah, I mean, my kind of guy. I love him. He's great.
All right.
He
got stopped.
He got arrested. He was caught driving 111 miles an hour, having pot, 4 rifles, 9 handguns, a taser, and night vision goggles in his car.
So what stopped him?
The police, I guess.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah.
But you couldn't hold off the police for that?
No. But my favorite thing, I had to put this in. I sent this to EJ, and he goes, "See, this is how rumors get started." What the article didn't mention was that John was on his way back from church, running late to teach a weapon safety class, but had to stop off at a terminally ill glaucoma patient's house who happens to live in sight in a light-restricted environment to protect his eyes. So rather than be sighted, he should be knighted.
EJ chimes in on the show.
That's right. That would have been my defense.
Makes perfectly sense to me.
That's right. I'm surprised. Of course, I would imagine those all that stuff got confiscated.
Okay. Well, probably, yeah.
Goodbye.
Yeah, I can see John Popper. Yeah, I'd like my pot back and my guns and stuff.
That was a good show. I'm out of here. Done. Hey, thanks a lot. And don't forget to, let's see, Stephen Molyneux at Freedom Main Radio. He's back, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The Hangar Dogs, they've disappeared. Hopefully, they lost a couple of their shows.
He's lost one.
I told you we were on that, somebody on his website or whatever. We still get searched. Libertarian Podcast numero uno,
yeah,
or whatever
good.
It is. Appreciate
good. Well, keep
Jimmy
tell your
president.
Friends for
Jimmy
sure.
Jimmy for president. And, yeah, we're taking PayPal donate. We don't quite have 25 million yet, but we're closing in on Obama.
That's right.
To get Jimmy as president. And we want to do our billboard, too, sometime.
That's right, the billboard.
The lighted billboard, when you honk at it and it blinks at it, does weird things.
Or flips you off.
It's an interactive billboard. We're trying to work on this design. If you got any suggestions, send it to Jimmy at JimmyDone.com. Yeah, well, flashes you.
We need a good model.
Yeah, so. It's like one of those pens that you turn upside down and then a girl goes naked or something.
Well, shirt comes off.
That's going to be our billboard. You honk. And clothes come off.
So if you want to be the model for that, email Jimmy at JimmyDone.com.
That's right.
The, you know, shirt on, shirt off, all that.
That's right.
Thanks for listening, folks.
Thank you.
Keep those emails coming. JimmyDone.com. Tell your friends. Tell the people that aren't your friends.
That's right.
Come back soon.
And next time it'll be the Jack Roach Show.
I thought this was the Jack
Roach Show. That's right. I know you
can. I'm in the wrong place. Jack Roach Show.
That's the next door studio, Jack.
Oh, Jack, shit.
He came in the wrong one.
Oh, wait about that. I just spent 2 hours on...
Where's my paycheck, Jimmy? How much did I get paid? Is
that's definitely the other in the studio.
No.
No. I'll see y'all later.
Jimmy Smith.
Thank you for listening to part 3 of the April 5th, 2007 Jimmy Done podcast.
Jimmy Done is better than a cold shower.
And then I said, whoops, there it is.